League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1076. It's a bank holiday Friday, the 25th of May, 2018. On the podcast today, oh, don't forget, by the way, check out our new podcast series, Business Lives, and of course it features interviews with high-profile guests from the world of business. Check it out, voxmarkets.co.uk/businesslives. Okay, on today's podcast, Ken Kruger, Executive Chairman and Interim CEO of Seeing Machines, SEE, ticker C, and Ken discusses recent news, including the European Commission's recently released recommendations to improve safety in Europe on the move, as they call it. Also on the podcast, Russ Mould, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell, talks about the following stocks: Trufin, TRU, Medica, that's MGP, Stock Spirits, STCK, and Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers results from the week, including Marks & Spencer's, Kingfisher Group, Wizz Air, and Plus 500. Plus, I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ken Kruger, Executive Chairman and Interim CEO of Seeing Machines. That's SEE ticker. Ken, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, well, listen, before we get into it all, a couple of questions here. For people not aware of Seeing Machines, not familiar with the business, or are new to the podcast, can you summarize what the business is all about, please?
Sure. Seeing Machines is really a transport safety technology business. And when I say technology, we use artificial intelligence and machine learning to develop software and hardware that is used to go into vehicles and detect the driver's state. So are they falling asleep? Are they alert? And to provide that information, either in a commercial sense, you alert the driver, wake them up, and to help the driver and the owners of the assets understand the risks, this invisible risk around fatigue, and also in cars in support of semi-autonomous and driver safety.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, questions time. So you've released some news this week about your full-year revenue expectations and manufacturing delays for the fleet product Guardian or Gen 2. Can you explain the impact of this and what it means for the business, please, Ken?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, you know, because we were tracking so strongly towards the end of the year and lead up to our results, and unfortunately we've fallen victim to of all things, world shortage in ceramic capacitors. You know, these sort of 25-cent parts, and our manufacturer just can't get enough for the tail end of our supply run. So the delay is really affecting, you know, probably about 15% to 20% of our order, and that will be delayed about probably 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks at the most. So really, the it's not a change in total revenue. It's just a portion of that revenue is just sliding into the new financial year instead of being able to track it this year.
Okay, all right. And if we shift back to last week, European Commission released some recommendations to improve safety in Europe on the move, it's called. And this is good news for Seeing Machines, isn't it? So can you tell us how this impacts opportunities for technology there, Ken, please?
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, and I think we'll see more of this. You don't have to look too far or read very far into the news these days to hear about an accident with a driverless car or a testing of a driverless car or a semi-autonomous car. We all know that the risk of texting and using our phone while driving is rampant, and despite laws to try and protect ourselves from it, society is choosing to ignore those laws, and it's becoming a real risk factor on our roads for teenagers and adults. And the government is waking up to that and really starting to look at how they're going to protect all road users from fatigue and distraction. And this is really the first step. And for us, our product really serves that purpose to remind the driver where their attention should be focused when it's not properly focused on the road. So this is a big step for us. And we've been able to play a small role in influencing these decisions by helping governments and regulators understand what technology is available, is proven and is being deployed by the major car manufacturers. The fact that it's coming to market allows them to have confidence and start thinking about enforcing its inclusion in new cars.
Yeah, and do you think it'll go beyond just the automotive business?
Thanks for reminding me. I think that's what really makes this one special. It taps into all of our road-going sectors. So it's not only for cars, but it's for all road vehicles. We have a strong presence in the commercial fleet side, the lorries in Europe and the giant trucks in Australia and on the roads in the U.S. So it affects those sorts of vehicles and also buses, which is a growing part of our business.
Yeah. Often you see sort of recommendations. This is almost sometimes a start of a thin end of the wedge there. So do you think this will move into becoming sort of regulation later on?
I think ultimately it will. I think there's a few steps to happen in between, and I think we'll see Euro NCAP, they have a similar plan, NCAP, and at some point we'll see the U.S. wake up, no pun intended, and start looking at regulating as well. So I think given the consequences of not doing this and where the road statistics are going, it will have to be regulated in time.
Yeah, and as far as Europe is concerned, do you think they are at the forefront of this? They're leading this? Do you think the rest of the world will sort of follow their lead on this?
I think so. This is typically the way it works. And I think, we're starting to see more investigation into accidents with autonomous cars. We're starting to see that, historically the government's gone through different phases where, for a decade it was focused on environmental issues around transport. And now with the arrival of electronics into cars and advanced driver assistance, they can now comfortably start looking at making sure that these things go into everybody's cars.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, Ken, if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of what you're doing at Seeing Machines but are not yet following the story, could you give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please?
Yeah, I think overall, we have an extremely unique selling proposition. We have this depth of in-house expertise, really world-class computer vision, machine learning, artificial intelligence capability, and we're wrapping that into a world-class company. I think that we're at a real inflection point for driver monitoring. We're talking about this regulatory guidance sort of tipping the scales in our favor, and remembering that we're one of very, very few companies that does this, and that it really puts us in a world leader position, and we just continue to put a lot of effort and time and skill and money into solutions that cross all these different transport verticals. So, we've got mining with Caterpillar, General Motors as a customer, a number of European premium brands. So really basically taking a leadership position in transport safety by monitoring drivers and helping those vehicles understand whether the driver's in position to do what it has to do while driving the vehicle.
Marvelous stuff. Ken, good to chat to you, and hopefully we chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Russ Mould, Investment Director at Stockbroker AJ Bell. You all right, Russ?
I'm very well, Justin. How are you?
I'm all right. Look, I'm looking forward to the bank holiday weekend, but what I've noticed is they've promised almost perfect weather. It seems to be going downhill a little bit now. There's now wet air, there's storms.
I'm looking out of the window here in London, and it's grey and nasty at the moment. It's cool, and it's not that great. So hopefully the forecasters have got it right, but I won't hold it against me if they've got it wrong, because I'm in the forecasting business sometimes, and I know, you know, as Yogi Berra, the baseball player, once said that, you know, making predictions is very difficult, particularly about the future.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there we are. But I'm sure it'll be fine in some bits. So, you know,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. And let's be honest, it's not as if we're not used to having bad weather on the bank holiday weekend.
No.
Okay, stocks-wise, what are we looking at, Russ?
So this week's trio is a new one that we've not looked at before, Trufin, T-R-U on AIM. And then we're just going to do quick reviews of companies that we've looked at before. Medica MGP on AIM and Stock Spirits STCK, which is a small cap stock, small cap index.
So Trufin, ticker is True.
It is True. One for Spandau Ballet fans, perhaps.
Yeah, what's happening then?
Now, you're going Trufin. Never heard of it. And the reason for that is floated only in February at 190 pence a share. It's now trading in the mid-220s, so it's tickled up. And the first thing to note is it did float in February, which in itself is not a bad achievement, because it was a pretty tough time for the markets. If you remember, things were beginning to wobble. Quite a lot of floats got cancelled. So the fact that this one actually made it out, it was one of the first things that sort of brought it up on my screens. And I've been looking at it for a bit, and it is not the easiest company to understand. So bear with me, because it's got four different operations.
All right.
The first one is called DFC, which is a forecourt lending business. So, if you know, it provides financing for people who want to buy yachts or industrial kit or cars through, you know, perhaps for individuals or for businesses that the banks wouldn't necessarily touch. So it sort of provides some forecourt bridging lending. And that business is run by people who used to work for GE Capital and did that with billions and billions of pounds. So you've got a very experienced management team there.
Yeah.
Second business is Oxygen. Provides early invoice payment systems to councils, and if the councils get a rebate when they pay early, Oxygen facilitates that and takes a slice of the rebate. There's another business called Satago, which provides cash flow management systems for small and medium-sized businesses. And then the final element to bear in mind is it's got a 15% stake in Zopa, which is the P2P peer-to-peer lending platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has just increased the value of the Zopa stake on its balance sheet from 34 to 36.5 million pounds. That in itself is worth 37.5 pence a share. Full year numbers came out last week, which I was kind of waiting for, just to have a look at some numbers, and they were fine. I think what particularly caught my eye was that the loan book for the whole company increased by 60% from December through to the end of March. So there is some good traction there. So going forwards, what's going to make people look at this small cap stock they've never heard of? One is loan growth, and obviously ideally profitable loan growth and not making bad loans, and that's where the expertise of the GE team comes in. Secondly, the company's applied for a banking license, the Prudential Regulation Authority. If they get that, then their cost of capital will go down, their loan margins will go up. And also Zopa is in the process of doing a fundraising right now, according to Mark Kleinman at Sky News, and he's a pretty shrewd, well-plugged-in kind of guy. And there is talk of Zopa's valuation going from up somewhere in the 200 to 250 million pound range to 350 to 400 million. So the uplift, obviously, in Trufin stake will be quite substantial. Mm. So those are your three catalysts. The risks, well, it's a new company. It's got a big shareholder called Arrow Court or Arrow Smith, forgive me, I temporarily forget. They've got a 73% stake, so the stock isn't wildly liquid. They could obviously not get the banking license, which would be inconvenient. And if, heaven forfend, the UK economy was to walk slap bang into a recession, then I would have thought that the demand for forecourt lending for yachts and things would probably not be as strong as it once was, and that potentially some of the buyers might get into financial difficulty.
Yeah.
It's got a mark, you know, it's not making any money. There's no immediate plans for it to pay dividends. But if the loan book keeps on growing rapidly, they will burst into the black. And the thing is potentially very cheap on a sum of the parts calculations, looking at those four individual bits. So it's a bit of a slow burn story, a bit of an illiquid stock, but it's just caught my eye, particularly because there are some potential catalysts coming up in the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, is it, let's have a look, the Arrow Grass.
Ugly looking chart, I would. Arrow Grass, thank
Arrow
you
Master
so much.
Fund, yeah, 73%,
good,
yeah.
There you
Credit
go.
Credit Suisse have 5.4, Lions Trust 3.6, Dalton 3.5. Yeah, I mean, as I'm saying, at the moment, is it worth, what is it, 82 million market cap on those, I suppose
something
it's potential,
like that,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's not, believe me, you know, as we know, small caps are in a quiet taste anyway, and this one is a loss-making small cap in a very early stage of its life. So it is going to be bumpy. It is going to be in a quiet taste. But I think the fact you have got some backing there with a Zopa stake, I think the banking license will be a big potential breakthrough. And you do have some experienced management there. And also, they're incentivized up the kazoo. Their options don't start kicking in really until the share price is up 50%. And if it trebles, then they'll be getting very, very excited. So their interests are by and large aligned with those of potential investors.
Yeah, I do like the sound of that, because I do like, you know, fintech. I know Questa has a saying buy newly listed Truefin on Telegraph.
There you go.
So, yeah, I'll keep that. I'll put that on my watch list. Quite like that. I mean, if it, you know...
It might be one just to do some gentle work on. There's probably no boiling rush in terms of news, but, you know, we'll see what the Zopa funding round looks like this quarter. Again, if that disappoints, then that's probably one less catalyst. And then it's down to the banking license, then it's just down to the company building up the loan book in a sensible and profitable manner.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the next one is...
Medicare.
That's right.
Which has been a dog.
Right, lovely. Well,
so, you know, we first looked at it at 220p almost exactly a year ago, and it got as low as 120. It's now just bounced back to about 140p. Remember, this is the radiography expert that gets paid for the amount number of body parts that it scans. Yeah, it provides radiographers to our beloved NHS, because radiographers are in short supply. So it provides CT and MRI expertise, and it supplies X-ray expertise, although that's a very small and probably shrinking part of the business. I remember the disappointment was twofold last year. It was having trouble recruiting, even this expert was having trouble recruiting the people it wanted to then supply to the NHS, and it was coming across some pricing pressure from the NHS, as we all know, is having to be very careful with the pennies as best it can. The maiden and full year numbers in March were okay. Once they finally began to get their recruitment problems sorted, or again, gross margin pressure was a concern. We just had a little very brief trading statement from the company, its AGM. And the good news was, in line was pretty much all they said. That's a nice change after some of the slight miscues last year. Recruitment numbers on track, which is also important. They ended last year with 306 radiographers. And they are still looking for double-digit revenue growth this year. So I suspect that probably there are always two issues with this company. One, relying on the NHS could be good, could be difficult. You're relying on government funding. You know, these things can take longer than expected, and clearly the NHS is under extreme pressure from the government and from its own finances to get value for money, so margin pressure is something of which we need to be aware. And I suspect it's possible, you know, the stock was just the wrong price multiple-wise last year. It's now derated to about 17 times earnings this year, 13 times next. So that's giving you a bit more margin of safety on the downside for a company that is in theory capable of growing double-digit revenues and profits. There's a tiny little yield in there, about 1.5%. So frankly, probably got it wrong last year just because it was just the wrong price relative to the growth it was capable of generating. Now, I suspect it's one that, you know, having got it wrong, my inclination is to tough it out and see what happens rather than just crystallise the loss and lock it in. So we'll give them another chance.
Well, do you know what? If you'd sold before today, you'd have missed out on a sort of 12% rise, because I don't know why, there's no news today, but they're up 12.6% today.
I think it's just this trading statement this week of, you know, no news is good news kind of thing, I think, really.
Yeah, and let's be honest, I mean, the share price has been down and down. It's done a nice double bottom at 120.
Oh,
and
so there you go,
maybe that's set to support level. 150 at the moment, sir, so as a...
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was 139p when I did my notes last night, so there you go.
There we are. So, sometimes when you lose hope and you sell, and all of a sudden,
This is the thing. At least the balance sheet's okay, so it's not as if the clock's ticking. You can afford to sit, to hunker down and think, you know, we know there's demand for these services. Obviously, the pricing issue is a key one here, but we know there's the demand and the balance sheet is pretty fine. So in that respect, you don't need... It's not like you're looking at... ludicrously high-profile example, Carillion, where the balance sheet isn't going to withstand any pain because it's just too tightly stretched as it is. So then time isn't on your side. With this one, you have quite a bit more room for manoeuvre.
Yeah, okay. So quite appropriate. You're going into the bank holiday weekend. Stock Spirits, what's happening?
Polish vodka. Selling vodka to Poles. What more could one wish for? So yeah, it's a spirits expert. Brandy, vodka, Poland, Czech Republic, Croatia, its main markets. And this one, you know, Medica hasn't done us that well. We can raise a glass to this one. First looked at it in March 17. It's gone from 180p to nearly 215. It's got a bit of a yield in there for good measure. And this is a company that had a torrid 2016, because actually selling vodka to Poles got really, really difficult, because it actually encountered an awful lot of price competition. It lost market share. a new CEO came in, a new CFO came in late last year upon the retirement of the other one, and the management team have begun to fight back. They're looking to improve their digital presence. They're looking to premiumize the brand to sort of give it some price protection, and doing a better job of marketing product to Polish and Eastern European millennials. Trading statement like this week, first 5 months of the year, the magic words again, in line. No great panic on. Poland is still tough. Volumes up only 1.2%, value up 1.1%, and they still talk about price competition, but they're taking market share now, not losing it. Same story in the Czech Republic, volumes up 8%, but their value up 11%, so price increases are sticking in the Czech Republic. Operating margin of around 10%. Okay, that's fine. For the full year, looking for earnings forecast up about 7%. You're paying 17 times earnings with a 3% dividend yield, and that's a big discount to the Diageos, Remy Quantros, and Pernod Ricards of this world. Mm-hmm. I mean, understandably so, because they make higher margins and they've got stronger brands than stock has. But nevertheless, it doesn't look expensive for what it does. We know it's a pretty good demand market. They seem to have got their branding and their pricing a little bit more right now. And I think it's one of those that's just going to, you know, the 3% yield is nice, thank you very much. And I think the positioning of the product seems better. And so if this thing can knock out 5 to 7% earnings growth a year with a 3% dividend yield on top, more power to them.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, a nice level, a sort of support level here. So yep. It's tested to the 230 before and it's 240 and now it's bounced up. So we'll see. But it is still below that all-important 200-day moving average, which people see as the bull bear line, you know. So we'll see. Marvellous stuff. Well, Ross, have a nice weekend, fella.
Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. You all right, Chris?
Hello, Justin. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Normally, you go through some of the updates of today, bigger stocks we're talking about, of course, but I can't help but notice, I mean, do you know what, the media do, I suppose it's a darling of the UK industry, I suppose, isn't it? It's institutional of Britain. It's Marks and Spencer's always been here, but for as long as I can remember, they've never had good results, I don't think, save for a couple of good food results now and again, but their clothes division's always been on the back foot, and yesterday, they'd taken drastic action, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's been a perennial dog, let's face it. And it's one which has been barracked by, you know, the rise of online, the rise of new competitors. As you say, other companies working out, even in their food business, how to give a strong convenience offering. So it's been a struggle for a while. They've sort of struggled on, paid their dividends and whatever, but the share has slid away. The reality is, I think finally they got religion yesterday, in the sense that they admitted they had to cut radically their store base, and they had to focus more online, and they had to focus on a different style of engaging with their customers. So finally, I think the penny has dropped. The question is it too little too late? Mm. I think listening to the story yesterday, listening to the plans, I was impressed by the fact that they realise they've bogged up, they've underperformed for many years. And that's always a good sign. It always helps when you've got a newish chairman, Archie Norman, you know, quite a famous guy in the retail and business space. The CEO's been at M&S for a while, but he's new at the CEO job. Again, it felt like a bit of a fresh air. I would say it reminds me of Tesco's 2-3 years ago. And by that, I mean, it's going to take a long time to turn around. It's not going to be cheap to turn around, but they have a plan. And if they execute that plan, there's a role for that business, particularly as they've got a food business, which is a bit less kind of ultra competitive compared to clothing, where you've got that online capability much more distinctly. I would say the thing about M&S is whenever you see it below £3 a share, And it sort of flicked either side of £3 a share in the last couple of days as people sort of waxed and waned over this turnaround plan. Below £3 a share, I think there's an angle. There's a 5% yield at the moment. I think that is sustainable. And there's the hope of a turnaround plan, which will take many years. I mean, they're talking about 2021 before they even get into the final stage of the plan. You know, that's how sort of medium term it is. So my view is, if you own the shares, don't sell them. But put them in the bottom drawer, or metaphorically in the bottom drawer, and look at them again, you know, properly in a few years' time. I think it's a bit like Tesco's. I think it's a 2-3 year turnaround plan. I wish them luck, but I think below £3, risk reward is all right.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I was saying that, I mean, obviously the news is often behind what's actually happening on the chart, but I saw it on the news last night, and yeah, do you know what? On the chart, nice double bottom there, 260. It tested that twice in March and April, and it started to rise from there. And then yesterday, it did have a jump up, didn't it? So I suppose the people are relieved they're actually doing something drastic, because it needs something drastic. Like you said, it's gone on for too long, and they've chopped and changed a couple of internal sort of people, but no one's actually thrown the kitchen sink at it and said, listen, we are outdated a little. The thing is, that what I'm worried about is that Tesco's, even though it did a radical thing, and it's a more convenient store, but I mean, they're very, people travel there and they go there, it's quite easy for them. Marks and Spencer, I think people have to go out of their way to shop there, they have to be shop there by choice, whereas sometimes there are communities that only have one big supermarket, and that's Tesco, so I think it'd be a lot easier to turn around Tesco than Marks and Spencer, because it's about fashion as well, isn't it? And that's hard, that's a hard marketplace,
Yeah, no, they are some fair points, Justin. I think, look, M&S are lucky that they have got a sort of, in quotes, necessity business like food within their own food business. Yes, I know it's much more aspirational. Yes, I know it's a much higher price point, more like a Waitrose than a Tesco's. Mm. But there's a stickiness to food, particularly in a convenience society. And they're very good at convenience. They were the original leaders in convenience. They've still got a good position there. I agree on the clothing and homewares business. By definition, that's much more discretionary, much more fashion centered. Look, what I took from their judgments yesterday was that actually they realized that there are better players in fast fashion and all of that sort of stuff. What they've got to do is be a good operator for what they call basics. And basics are, maybe the reasons people still would shop at an M&S, undergarments and basic clothing and stuff like that, a solid suit for a couple of hundred quid or whatever. And, just focusing on that, doing that and executing that well, that is still a big market. Mm-hmm. And they've still got a lot of, brand resonance, probably people of an older demographic, probably are those that they're appealing to. But, we all know there's an aging population in the UK. So, that's not a complete disaster. I think what they've done, though, is they've right-sized their view. They're not going to be sort of competing with the Next of this world or the H&Ms or whatever. It's a completely different demographic. That's gone. Now they've got to focus on what they're good at. And I think it's basics in the non-food business. So, yeah, it's not clean. It's not easy. But I think there's an opportunity. And sub £3, I would hold on to my shares and keep my fingers crossed.
Cool. Marvellous stuff. Do you know what? Well, £3 at the moment, actually, is providing a bit of a resistance. And so if they do clear that, that should be a good thing, a good bit of support going forward. So they just need to clear that £3. It's not far off. It's about £2.99 today, I think. So they push through. Should be good. Go. What else are we looking at, Chris?
Well, it's funny, actually, because we've been talking about £3 a share for M&S. I'd roll out the same number in one of those weird sort of, statistical quirks for Kingfisher. Kingfisher, big DIY player, of course. They own B&Q and Screwfix here, Castorama in France. They came out with some quarter one numbers today, and they were shocking in terms of the like-for-like numbers. Relating to the first quarter of the year when we had all that bad weather, unsurprising DIYs, complete shocker in those conditions. I think the B&Q like-for-likes were down 9%, of 6% odd of which was bad weather, and France was pretty shabby too. So you're probably thinking, why on earth is he talking about Kingfisher as anything other than a short? Because the reality is, this is a known. We all know about the shabby weather. And what's happened, obviously, since is that the weather's got better and they've seen numbers improve in April and May. But more importantly, they've actually got a really good market position in DIY. I mean, Bunnings have absolutely shot themselves in the foot in this country ever since they took over the home-based business. It's been an absolute shocker. I'm hearing losses and disappointment and just navel-gazing and stuff like that. B&Q's been the solid number one for a long time, and hence it's still in a good position. They've got no debt. They've got a good business like Screwfix in the UK, which is still growing. And as I say, the weather's getting better. Refurbishment in the property sector, I think, is the key going forward. It's not moving house. As we talked about before, property prices are expensive. Property market's under a bit of pressure. So what do? You refurb. And that's generally a little bit better for DIY businesses. Put it all together. Again, look at that £3 level. It's been below it periodically over the last couple of years. But, you know, you've had trading opportunities moving between £3 or sub £3 and about £3.50. I think it does it again, because what I see here is a 5% yield, no debt on the balance sheet, low expectations. But the reality is they're coming into a better time for their business. So net net, I'd actually be holding this one for the summer and keeping my fingers crossed and hoping for a double digit return.
Yeah, and let's be honest, you know, a lot of retailers have been hammered down. It's in the price, isn't it? I mean, a lot of the, you know, I looked at this with Connor Gammer from SpreadX. We did a pre-review on Friday of updates coming up, and we covered that. And I think Marks, and, you know, it's both of them at the lower end of their trading ranges, you know, so it's all priced in. It's people are well aware. Oh, sorry. A well-aware retail is not a good place to be, you know? So it's sort of priced in.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, we all know that, you know, the world's under pressure. And but, you know, real wages, that's wages after inflation, are going up slightly in the UK. Interest rates aren't going up too quickly here, I don't think, over the next couple of years. It's not a disaster backdrop. You know, Brexit rumbles on, whatever. It, as you say, it's a known known. So my feeling is there's a lot factored in. When you find a number one in their sector, particularly with no debt, that's got to be a couple of ticks in the box. And we've seen with stocks like Next, who have a very, very similar profile, best at what they do, no debt on the balance sheet. You know, their shares have been dramatic up in the last few months. So, you know, there's always angles, there's always hope. So my feeling is Kingfisher's probably for your more tactical traders is looking a bit more interesting over the balance of this year. M&S is a bit more of a bottom draw, longer haul stock. Either way, sub £3, I wouldn't be shy on either of them.
Yeah, okay, marvellous stuff. What's next?
Well, got to have a quick look at Wizz Air. You know, we've talked about Ryanair and EasyJet. People know those, but they may or may not know about Wizz. Wizz is an interesting business. They primarily serve Eastern Europe and a little bit of Southern Europe. I'm looking at the map, actually, of all their locations, and it's Poland, it's the Czech Republic, it's the Baltic states, it's some of the Balkans as well. You know, they're an interesting little business, and obviously we've got a fair flow of populations from those countries to the UK and vice versa for various reasons, and they've built their business on that. They're based at London Luton Airport, and they haven't been shy also about expanding, particularly taking advantage of things like Monarch Airlines going bust a few months ago. I think it was last year now. So Wizz Air, nice numbers today, slightly upped their expectations. What I thought was interesting was that the tone of their comments really contrasted with Ryanair earlier in the week. Ryanair were kind of a bit downbeat. Oh, we're worrying about Brexit. Oh, we're worrying about French air traffic controller strikes. We're worrying about the fact that passengers are wanting cheaper flights, etc., etc. Wizz Air had a much more can-do sort of attitude, it seemed to me. And, you know, they said, look, we don't have perfect visibility. Of course, summer trading is clearly important, but we're cracking on with it. They're rolling out new routes and new aircraft. I think actually it's a company still on its front foot. If you look at the shares, the shares are kind of interesting because, you know, it sort of bummed around the £10-£15 level for a while,
yeah.
And then it rocketed up
to about
£5. It took off indeed, a vertical ascent, and it's sort of been in a kind of a consolidation mode in the sort of £30-£35 range recently. And, you know, I think that's actually quite nice. My feeling is, looking at the results, there might be something here. So maybe it's going to... I've actually have flown on Wizz Air a couple of times, flying to Poland and whatever. And, you know, it's EasyJet-esque. It's no frills, but it's all right. You know, it does what it says on the tin, basically. So one to keep an eye on. Quite impressed by their numbers today.
Yeah, I hope it looks a bit better than the tin, their planes. But there we are. So... Plus 500 is the last one you're going to cover, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And the only reason I want to talk about this one is that they've done something interesting today. Look, the shares have romped, and you know, I struggle to fundamentally tell you this is in a company you must buy, because frankly, the shares have, I think they've gone up about four times over the last year or so. It's been a wondrous run. But they've done something really interesting today, which is they've said they're going to list on the London Stock Exchange main market. They're currently listed on AIM, and they want to do that to boost profile, attract new investors, liquidity, and all of that sort of gubbins. And I thought that was quite interesting, because that actually does show a company that is on the front foot again. And, you know, obviously this whole area has been under pressure because of regulation, you know, plus had a few other issues beyond sort of the some of the limitations on spread betting in terms of their internal controls and stuff like that. But I have to say, a mature move by this company, and it's always good to see companies sort of growing properly. And I think actually this is a real indication of this. So, you know, good luck to them if they achieve this and pull it off. It sort of implies they've got either plans for bigger things, acquisitions, global domination, or whatever else.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Chris, thank you very much for that, and we'll chat next week.
That's the plan. See you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. In fact, it's a joint five. It's Codal Minerals and Palemos. Talked about Codal, of course, with John on the podcast here, John Mayer. At four, it is i3 Energy PLC, i3E ticker. At three, Sabian Technology, SNT. At two, MySquare, MYSQ. Number one, most followed company, it's Echo Energy, of course, did a fundraise today. A little bit of discount, maybe people taking advantage of that little drop in the share price. Okay, top five most liked RNSs came from, at five, Zenith Energy, signing of non-convertible loan facilities. At four, Ectec, loan note conversion notice. At three, MySquare Limited, exercise of convertible bonds and issue of equity. What's going on with the convertibles here? At two, Strategic Minerals, Redmore 2018 drilling program. And number one, most liked RNS, came from Frontera Resources, a Tiribani drilling well logging update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.